Perfect is the enemy of done.
Yeah.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Nick Glover, Tim Wick, and Molly Glover.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, our guest is Mark Lazarchek. We talk about the arrogance of being an atheist, improv, and libertarianism. It's really non-controversial.
We're geeks without God.
Hi, welcome to Geeks Without God. I'm your host, Nick Glover. I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, Molly Glover.
Hello.
And Tim Wick.
I'm also a co-host.
You did it. You switched it up.
I did. I switched it up.
You talk about
hard.
This every fucking episode from now on.
It was deliberate.
But I could hear how hard it was.
Yeah. All right. This week on Geeks Without God, we have a guest, Mark Lazarchek.
That's me.
Yay.
Who is, some asshole we know. No, you.
Fitz the Toad.
So you were Fitz the Toad at the Renaissance Festival.
Yes, sir.
And you're in Vilification Tennis.
Yes.
At the fest and at the Bright Lake Bowl, less the latter.
Yes.
Don't you work for the guy who owns, like, Wedding Day Sparklers and Renaissance Fireworks?
I work for that guy.
Yeah.
Work for that guy. I heard that guy's an asshole.
He's a fucking
I would not work for that guy.
Oh, he's an anti-Semitic, too, man.
Yeah.
So you're a business owner of a few businesses.
I have five.
Including one that's techie.
Yeah.
Otterology?
I own a software company. Yep.
Yeah.
And yet I can't write code.
Right, no. You just...
From what I understand, owning a software company, writing code is not a requirement.
You just have enough money to hire people to write code, and you have ideas.
I raised enough money to hire people.
The software company is business 5, though, right?
Software company is business 3.
Business 3?
Well, actually, it's business 4, technically.
Okay.
I stopped one of them.
Because the idea of you had capital to roll into that, you were able to buy the people you need to pay for.
Oh, no, you buy them. You pretty much own them.
I mean, you buy their time.
Yeah, I put the first 150 in.
Okay.
And then after that, I said I can't put any more money into this. People need to give me money.
Right. And there's difference, which I think if you're going to do a startup software company or it's your very first company ever.
Yeah.
That's probably someone who's a coder, Tim. That's probably someone who's writing themselves.
You have to have a product before you go out there. You can't just hire people to do stuff, even though I did. But that's probably why people keep giving me money. Because they're like, you're not supposed to be able to do this. Cool, keep telling me what I can't do. I'll keep doing it.
And recently, like in the past year, you've been gracing the stage at Huge a few times.
Yep, I've hit Huge 2 times this last year, and apparently we're going to do a lot more.
Cool.
It's exciting.
Yeah, fun.
It's fucking horrifying is what it is.
Good. That means you're growing.
Nick starts classes there next week.
We're going to jump next on stage Sunday. For 25 minutes, and we have no idea what we're going to
that
do.
That sounds amazing.
It is horrifying.
Yeah.
Well, that and sounds amazing.
You know
sounds
what's
so
hilarious
fun.
Is that is the easiest thing in the world to me.
Right?
Yeah.
Up top.
That's not
I've never been frightened by it. You know why?
I'm horrified beforehand.
Yeah.
The minute I get up on stage.
Oh, sure.
But see, it doesn't horrify me because every single conversation I've ever had in my life was improvisation.
Right.
Yes.
I planned out all of mine word for word.
Well,
you
I'm sure you
fucking up my script left and right.
And on top of that, it's like the minute they start giving you rules or putting constraints on, that's when you're able to be creative. I mean, if they just gave you a blank canvas and said, do something funny, like stand-up, that's horrifying.
See, but if they just
no
say,
rules,
do
no constraints.
No, that's the difference. Do something funny, no rules, no constraints. See, I can make that work because I can be ridiculous. And I am often ridiculous, and so it doesn't bother me to look stupid.
It. Yeah.
Like, that's one of the things you have to, I think, that goes into being a great street character, is that you don't have to give a shit if you look stupid, gross,
improvisation,
ugly,
fat. Yeah, can't be afraid of looking like a fool.
Improvisation isn't even do something funny.
Right.
No.
Improvisation is do something.
Yep.
Just do something.
And by doing something, you will probably be funny in spite of yourself.
Whatever you
funny
do, don't fucking do nothing.
Yeah.
That's kind of it.
If you just do something and follow the laughs, it's pretty easy to keep.
Sure.
Yeah. The latest scene Butch and I did was we got up and got a suggestion. The suggestion was we would be in a car dealership, and the issue we were dealing with was racism. And instantly we just looked at each other, and I was like, all right, I'm going to be the racist.
Big surprise, surprise.
And we started off, and instantly he just spun that shit right on me to where he was an Asian guy firing all the white people. Just going across the country firing white people at dealerships.
Yep.
And I just sat there this whole, watching the audience be horribly uncomfortable with me going, you can't fire white people. No one will believe us when we complain about it.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's like, I know, it's great, isn't it? And it became this horrible truth.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
If this happened, no one would believe him because the only people covering it would be Fox News. And everyone would go, yo, whatever, you guys,
But that's the thing about improvisation. That's the basic truth of improvisation is that yes and is the most powerful thing in the world. It's what makes things funny. It's if whatever somebody gives you, you just say, all right, I accept that. And I do this in my life. If I'm at work and somebody at work jokes with me and says, oh, yeah, Tim, you're like this, I'm just like, yes, I sure am.
You know what I love more than yes and is yes because. That's my favorite. That's my favorite way to play improv because that gives them something else to go and that surprises them. Because if someone's like, you know, I'm your hairdresser, and you're like, oh, yes, I love getting my hair done. Where do you go from there?
Sure.
Now, now it's back on me. Like, but if you go, yes, because the cancer, it ravages me. Now it's like, fuck, now
That's an interesting
That's us at home every day.
Yeah,
that's
it's true.
We have conversations for the animals that are because. Like,
it's amazing.
We speak for them. They're assholes. Anyway.
This has nothing to do with the topic of the podcast, but it is fascinating nonetheless.
So, Mark, you identify as agnostic.
Correct.
And from what I have heard, you actually kind of take issue with atheists in general.
Yeah, I think atheists are some of the most smug individuals.
So we're atheists, the three of us.
And we're smug. Right.
Oh, totally. You guys, yeah.
Now, what is this? I mean, like, why? What makes
them
smug?
It's the atheist attitude of, I know.
Oh, it's the certainty.
I know. Yeah, it's the, I know there's no God. You people are so stupid for your belief system.
So are religious people equally as arrogant?
They say they know, too.
But I haven't found that in religious people. The majority of religious people I've known in my life have always been like, well, you have your beliefs and I have my beliefs.
Are you kidding?
No, that's the majority of my religious
life. That is a really unusual experience.
Yeah.
I grew up surrounded in religion. I mean, nobody was
You grew up in America. We all did more or less.
Yeah. Catholic. I was raised Catholic.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And I grew up in a small community that was Catholic, Baptist. There were no Lutherans.
Was it like you have your beliefs and I have mine between sects of Christianity or between like let's say atheism, Buddhism, Muslims?
Mostly sects of Christianity, because we were never exposed to other groups.
See that to me is a little bit
you're just debating between dark chocolate, milk chocolate.
Exactly. Right. No one's saying dairy's bad. Yeah. I only eat peanut butter.
Because I'm going to disagree with your basic premise.
You're allowed to be wrong.
Well, I will be happily be wrong in that I think most atheists, when you sit down and talk to them, what they say is, I have seen no evidence for God. I mean, that's what I say.
There is no evidence for
God. I've seen no evidence for God, and in the absence of evidence for God, I don't believe in God.
Right.
And if I'm shown undisputable evidence of God...
I hate that whole premise. I hate that whole premise because science itself makes leaps without facts... Without data.
Well, no.
Yes, it does.
What it does is, the initial leap is, I have an idea. There's a leap.
But they're willing to take assumptions on things without having 100% certainty on
it. Are you talking about, like, hypothetical? Like,
physics?
So if you're talking...
Dark matter?
Okay, but see...
But that's theoretical physics.
Theoretical physics.
Exactly.
And then what they do is they go out and they test and they test and they test. And the problem is not the scientists, because the scientists will say to you, we don't have proof of dark matter yet. We have a theory that is supported by dark matter. And then what happens is science reporters, who don't know shit all about science, come out and write an article about what scientists believe.
It's also, there's a... I cannot think of the name, but there's a rule. It's a 97% rule. To where once we're 97% certain, we can report it as true. And it's things like vitamin C cures cancer, coffee causes cancer, eggs will raise your cholesterol. Things like that where they...
That's a lot of food science. That's not a lot of what I think of as science.
Food science.
I mean, okay, so when you talk about like shit like astrophysics, where they're like, look, all our math shows that shit should operate like this... I mean, and so far, it all does.
Yep.
And if something were to come along to contradict that, they would have to go back and rewrite shit, and they would
and
change
they would.
It. And they've done it.
Yep. So they wouldn't say, no, that's fucking lies. Yep. This is how it is because we said so 10,000 years ago.
Yep. Science has done that over and over and over again.
Has religion?
But religion can't really do that.
Okay.
Religion won't do it.
Religion can't do that because religion is based on what they were taught. We'll just work with Christianity.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Just because what we're all familiar
2,000 years ago. This is what was written down. It's pretty hard to change that now because you have nothing. You can't scientifically go back and do studies on it.
Okay.
You can't research it. You can't do anything. You have to take it on
faith.
Faith.
Okay.
Which is why I think it's flawed.
Yes. And also, it's 2,000 year old. It also, the Bible's, most people assume the Bible was written 200 to 300 years after the death of Christ. That is
by numerous people.
By numerous people. That is like someone writing about the Revolutionary War today when we have no written context of it before that or anything passed down.
Yeah.
It's going to be a little bit.
The difference between that is, what if we were to write a book about the Revolutionary War today, what we would do is we would go to sites where there were battles, we would do archaeological finds, we would carbon date shit, we would find what written records we have and evaluate them and put together something that you know, a list of what we know, what facts, and try to draw assumptions from that and make theories.
Yep.
When they were writing the Bible, this is all the, you know, the world's fucking oldest game of telephone.
But also, when they were in the Bible, they didn't go do research. They didn't go back to archaeology.
So I'm saying that how can you hold like that and say that well, that kind of arrogance is different than...
I don't think it's arrogance. I think it's faith. I see those as a difference because it's not the belief that I find arrogant. It's that atheists think, I know.
So do Christians.
But I think
they all say they know. There's a heaven, there's a hell, there's a God, there's Jesus. They all say they know. They feel God. They talk to God. They know.
Well,
they tell me I'm wrong all the time, Mark. They tell me I'm gonna burn in their hell all the time.
I never told an atheist they were wrong when I was a Christian.
That's fine. But
neither does the Pope, by the way.
That's good for him. My point is, also, when you say most people know the Bible was written 300 years after the death of Christ by multiple people, that is not true. Most people do not believe that.
I assume most people know what
you are. You are forgetting that most people are not as smart as you by a long shot.
Right, and that's a horrible
assumption. They also commit atrocities in the name of this. No one's going to go...
All the time.
And that's, no one's going to do that in the name of a book written in the Revolutionary War. But I have the main point I want to make is just in general. So let's just talk about like the attitudes. That's what you want to say. You don't like the attitudes of atheists.
I think it comes from my political beliefs is that if you're an atheist and you're going to be a smug prick about knowing it all, you are never going to convince someone of faith to come to your side by telling them that I'm right, you're stupid for believing in.
My whole thing is, so now What I was gonna say is that it bums me out that for all the Christians that have just as bad of a reputation in terms of fucking fundies who tell me I'm going to hell, you know, your gays should burn, you know, they hate all these things that are, and people who have faith will say, those don't represent me. That's a fringe thing. They're just the most vocal.
It's a no true Scotsman fellas.
Hold on, no, you don't. And so they don't represent
Did
me.
Did you memorize all of them?
They don't represent me. So therefore, like they're the fringes. And someone will say, I know lots of good Christians. You just said all the Christians I knew, I grew up around, were great people. I've never had that problem. There's no one doing that for atheists. There's no one sticking up for atheists saying, actually, I know a lot of great atheists who aren't smug about it, and that's the fringes. The idiots on Reddit who are being loud are the fringes.
One thing I didn't really think about when forming that whole opinion is nobody in my family, nobody around me knows that I don't believe in God.
See, that's a big thing.
So I don't get any, want them to know because my family is deeply religious.
The mere fact that
you've held it secret because they're deeply religious illustrates our point.
That could be true, that I don't ever hear that abuse towards atheists because no one knows I am.
Let me tell you a story. And I mean, it's a really brief one. I've been out and open about being an atheist basically since I decided I was one. And I don't think I'm not doing it because I'm smug about it. I'm doing it because I think if you don't believe in God, if you're an atheist, you need to be honest about
it. Stand and be counted.
You need to stand and be counted. It's not about fuck y'all, I'm right. It's about I'm an atheist and I count.
Being seen, being counted.
Yeah. The fact that I'm an atheist is a part of me and it matters just as much as the fact that you're a Christian matters. It's not a null space.
And when I was talking about religion with my eldest son for Cub Scouts, and I've told this story with him on the podcast, and I said, your mom and I really don't believe in God. And his response was, I don't really believe in God either. And then the religion conversation was done. It was awesome. But the thing
is... Except the conversation part about how he couldn't talk about it.
Well, yeah, but the thing that happened later is he had a conversation with my mom about it.
Mm.
And my mom's a Catholic, and you know what? That is fine. I'm not upset with my mom for being a Catholic. I love my mom very much. But my mom, in that conversation, expressed extreme discomfort, not with the fact that her grandson was an atheist, but with the fact that her grandson vocalized the fact that he was an atheist.
Like she said, just you shouldn't let anyone know
you
that.
You shouldn't really talk about that. Yeah. There are people that would be made uncomfortable by you saying that.
You're and, hurting people's feelings. And that,
that, to me, is telling somebody to deny who they are. And we don't tell Christians that they have to deny who they are. Nobody tells them. And
nobody
you know what?
Nobody tells them.
I would, they think they do, but nobody is. I would never tell a Christian that they have to deny who they are. I am totally willing to disagree with them, especially in areas where I think they are totally wrong, like same-sex marriage and things like that. But I would never tell them that they don't have a right to be Christian. That they,
not all
that
Christians
they
are against same-sex marriage.
Not
I
all
make
Christians.
That really clear.
I'm saying,
I know that you were generalizing, but
this whole conversation just made me realize something that I don't ever. The only people that know I don't believe in God are other people that don't believe in God.
Interesting.
I don't think I've ever had a conversation with some of them.
Have you talked about it with your kids at all? What do you guys do? You guys go to church?
No, your wife.
Oh, God.
Okay,
my
so
wife. My wife was raised atheist. She's raised. Okay. She was raised by Norwegians.
So you don't go to church, and your kids don't. Do they have they? Because like Riley and Madeline, you know, didn't go to church, and they when Madeline was like seven. One time she was like, what are we?
Yep.
Are we Jews or what? Yes. And my mom was like...
Cecilia is too logical, so she never never went for anything.
What about like Santa Claus and shit like that? Easter Bunny?
She lets me...
Yeah.
She lets me feel
she
like
likes,
it's real.
She likes presents from Santa.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, she's got little brothers and sisters.
No, that's true.
Vincent met a family down the road of... God, I cannot think of the branch of Christianity they are.
Like weird ones, like Mormons or something?
No, you know, I don't think Mormons are all that weird. But
boy, have you talked?
I've talked with a lot of them.
Have you read the Book of Mormon?
I read the Book of Mormon, and that's weird.
The Witnesses?
I think all religions, not Witnesses, but you know, Pentecostal or something along that line.
No, the Pentecostals are super weird.
Seventh-day Adventists.
But it's not that, but whatever they were, and their family is super wonderful.
Of course, an incredibly wonderful family.
So
people are good.
Yeah, and they were inviting Vincent to, do you want to come to our church for the playtime thing on Wednesdays? You need to go ask your parents because it's a church thing, but we're not trying to convert you.
Yeah.
We just, you Social. Like hanging out with Jacob.
That's where we're hanging out, yeah.
So he came over and he started asking us about God. And we, Gwen and I stated, you know, we don't believe in a God. And he was like, well, that sucks. I mean, I kind of want to because wouldn't heaven be really cool?
I'm
like, it would be fucking really cool. But
there needs to be some evidence of heaven before I'm willing to believe in it.
But maybe Earth could be heaven. Yeah. Why don't we just go for that?
So Vincent has expressed concern. Silvio expressed concern because he doesn't want to die. He's really hung up on dying.
Supervillain material, man.
He is. Yeah. He's really hung up on dying.
How old is Silvio?
5.
Yeah.
But I was also hung up on dying when I was 5.
Yeah, so was my brother.
I wanted to be a priest because I figured out a priest is the least likely person to get murdered.
Yeah.
That's the only reason why I wanted to be a priest.
Riley was playing The Sims.
That sounds so much like you, Mark.
The Sims had just come out, and Riley was playing it, and whenever someone died, the Grim Reaper came and took them away.
God.
And it really bothered him a lot.
Yeah.
And he also happened to see there's a Futurama where someone gets a black died. That's just like in the future.
Yeah.
And so then my brother got a black envelope, an invitation to a wedding or something.
Oh,
my older brother. And Riley was freaking out. And he's like, now we're all going to die.
The other thing that I thought of this today was the other thing that bothers me about atheists is that they don't understand, at least from my perspective, they don't understand for 40 years of my life I was Christian. In some form or another.
Yeah.
I lost some of my Catholicism more towards just Christian at one time, mostly because I just didn't like the
bullshit?
The hokiness. There's part of me that likes the tradition
the bread
of Catholic.
And circuses.
Yeah.
The bells and smells is one of my friends refers to.
Exactly, bells and smells.
Yeah, that's good.
I mean, I went to Catholic school. I was going to church 3 days a week. When I turned,
it's flamboyant.
Yeah, when I turned 40 and pretty much lost my faith completely, I lost my best friend of 40 years of my entire life.
See, and I think, I think
a person I could talk to all the time, a person that was always there, a person that loved me unconditionally no matter what. Not only one person, but I had God, I had Jesus, I had Mary, I had a whole group of people that no matter what I ever did, I could always talk to them, who walked me through really hard times in my life, whether real or not, and I lost, and all of a sudden, my imaginary friend...
Did you grieve?
I did. Yeah. I was really sad.
Well, and again, I think, I'm going to keep coming back to, I think you're really unfair to atheists, and I'm using quotations there, because... Yeah. I was a Catholic. I was confirmed. I lost my faith earlier than you did, but you know, and I've talked. I talked
not
about
that
this.
Much earlier though. I mean, you were maybe, what, maybe in your 30s?
I was in my 30s. I'd given up. I'd given up on Catholicism.
A grown ass man.
A grown ass man.
A grown ass
man.
That's when I finally gave up on God, and on any God. I mean, I'd explored other gods. I was trying to find.
I'd done the whole God. Yeah, I'd done the Buddhism and Hinduism and everything.
The thing is that and I talked about this when we were talking with Emily, who just who just decided that she's an atheist.
Just decided?
Yeah.
You guys fucking broke Emily?
Yeah, we did.
She's going to hell because of you guys now.
She didn't doesn't make any sense. Too. Okay. Oh my God. But the thing is that for me, the thing that I was holding on to that I wanted to believe, you know, my dad died when I was 19, and I kept holding on to the fact that someday
I get to see him again.
And when you finally accept it, you're like, I don't get to see him again.
That's horrid.
He's gone. And
it's like he died again.
It hurts. It's like he died again. But at the same time,
I don't get to see my pets again that I saw and I had growing
up. Catholics don't believe pets go to heaven.
I ignored that rule.
I believe in pet heaven. Yeah. I believe in pet heaven, but I only believe in it for pets. And they all get to be there, and they're all together in the same heaven.
It's a nice lie Molly tells herself.
So I feel better about animals dying. Because animals dying makes me super sad.
So animals dying breaks my heart, even though my dog died. Like a week ago, and I just didn't even care. It was the first animal I. Well, my rat died, and I was crying in the shower over my rat dying.
Yeah.
My dog died, and I was like, I never liked this dog. I really
never. You have too many dogs, and there's a dog that you can just not like.
Every day he'd come up, I'd just be like, I just don't like this. And I told my brother the day before, my brother was over on Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
And we were up late, him and I talking. Oh, and the dog kept coming over, and I looked at my brother and said, I can't wait for that fucking dog to die.
Oh my God.
You killed your dog. The day before my dog.
And the dog heard you, and it broke his heart.
Exactly.
Oh my God.
And he was always, he would just sit there looking at me like, please, I don't know what I'm doing wrong. Love me. And I was like, no.
And
I
finally, he gave up.
It just fell over.
I had a boyfriend like that. I'm going to tell you, like, for real. You know, where I was like, I just don't. I don't. I get it. I get that you want it, but I just.
And you know why you think that way? Because you don't believe in God and you're a bad person.
Right? Exactly. Yeah. And I picked out a new puppy. 5 hours after I brought his body to the vet to be
burned. Well, shut the kids up, but, right?
Well, the kids were really, like Vincent. Vincent scares me. Yeah. Vincent may be a sociopath because we told him 9.
Okay,
coming up on 10. We told him the dog died, and he went, "Huh? Well, that's bad." And went right back to his
iPad.
Maybe
he just didn't have a connection to the dog.
That's Devin. Devin's the same age, and he's a sociopath, too. I think all 9-year-olds are
When I was 10, I broke down in tears for like a week when my dog died.
Well,
that's because you were Catholic, and you knew your dog wasn't going to heaven.
Right, because he was a bad dog. And he strangled himself, which could be suicide. One of our dogs ran through a doghouse and strangled himself.
My dog got herself wrapped up on a hot day and hung herself to death. And my dad exhibiting crazy Asperger's retard strength, it scared us, like, pulled the pole, it was like a good 4 feet in the ground, ripped it out in one screaming motion to get it out of the ground. Yeah, dude. My mom was like, it's all right. He's your dad.
It's cool.
He used to have anger management problems, but he's good. Like, I never worry about him.
He's not going to murder
I would never want to be on the wrong side of him. How's that?
Is he still alive?
My dad?
Yeah.
Earlier,
he's young.
Here's the thing. I don't want to say there aren't atheists that are exactly like you're talking about.
There's lots.
There's a lot of atheists that are exactly like that. But I think it's I think it's wrong to say that all atheists are like that, because I don't believe very many of them are.
You know, I have a question. Mark, honestly, like, would you say the percentage of smug atheists that you've encountered tend to be younger? Like, then, because I feel like for me,
what do you mean by younger?
In age.
I'm 45, so what is younger?
Let's say, like, 20.
Let's say under 30.
Yeah. Under 30?
Or drinking age and under.
Nick is 33.
He's a smug.
Wow. Yeah, how old am I, wife?
32.
The problem is, I generally don't listen to people under the age of 25 because I think they're all stupid.
Because I feel like on the internet, the majority of people internet that are obnoxious about it are new to it or young.
The new to it group is the ones that I think irritate me the most.
And they're
like the chicks in college pretending to be bisexual, you know, and just trying to get attention.
They're like alcoholics who are now addicted to Alcoholics Anonymous, and now all they can talk about is that.
Exactly.
They're baby birds that just got pushed out of a nest, and they'll figure their shit out eventually.
I never talk about religion.
It's like talking to teenagers.
Anything I write.
About anything.
But that's you, and somebody else who does. I mean, I talk about it because it's important to me, because
to
me,
that's the other thing I find so hard to understand. How can being an atheist be important? You don't believe in anything.
No, that's not true.
I believe very strongly in the fact that other people don't have a right to tell me how to live.
I believe
my life
that religion is
based on their religion.
I'm anti-religion.
I agree with that.
So I'll talk about
What bugs me. I mean, that's why I'm such a I was such a big advocate for same-sex marriage. It was like because I don't believe that somebody based on their religion should be able to tell a gay person how they can live their life.
Yeah, I'm a libertarian. So I think that if I want to marry 16 women, no one should be able to tell me I can't.
As long as they're all consenting and adults, I don't really have a problem with that.
If everyone wants to do it, I don't care.
Yeah, it shouldn't matter.
It doesn't bother
me. Will you pay an extra $100 for special form making? Because we're going to have to put 15 extra signatures on that form.
If I can find 15 other women,
that's just going to be a little more bureaucracy. So
I don't think the 15 other women are going to be the problem there.
It's going to be the first one that we got to
talk. I think we got to be really clear, Mark, that you really fucking lucked out with the one woman who's married to you right now.
Yeah.
And I don't think you should even try for any more.
I tried talking her into multiple wives a couple of years ago. Jokingly, we were watching Big Love on TV, which is a great show because it shows the human aspect.
It was only joking unless she said yes, though.
It was one of those, you know. But I kept pointing out things like, you'd have a friend around the house all day. You wouldn't be lonely.
You'd have
someone to help you clean around.
You'd have someone to talk shit about my dick with.
Exactly. And you'd be wife number one always.
I'll tell you what happened.
How did it go? Did she try and convince you that maybe then she could have another husband?
She has always told me that I can sleep with any woman I want. But if I'm allowed to sleep with any woman I want, then she gets to sleep with any man she wants.
And then the conversation's over.
Then the conversation ends right there.
I feel like if Nick asked if we wanted to get another wife, and I'd be like, yeah, that's cool. Can I help pick her out? And then all we would do is les out all day, and nothing would get done. I would never, as a protest, I wouldn't do dishes. You'd come home naked wives. You'd be like, oh, you'd get tired of it. You'd be
this
like,
sucks so good.
I would make that fat internet money. I have three wives.
Well, then 2 and 3 can do it. We can be rich, baby. You just got a con, too.
Shit, I think we're onto something here.
This marriage is the best.
You guys make me so happy. Watching you guys work through that. All right, so this is how we're going to do this.
All right.
Oh, those stupid sluts.
They don't have to be stupid. I mean, the fall for the plan,
it's
they might
better if they're stupid,
yeah,
maybe.
Yeah, keep in the dark.
I just find most people stupid when I talk to them. Well,
that I knew.
I like people.
So, another thing that we wanted to touch on was, so you, I'd heard, don't necessarily believe that religion is harmful, or actually, I think you said it even more positively than that. You said you can't really think of any examples in which religion is bad.
Said I don't think religion is inherently bad.
Okay. Not even a little bit, I think.
No, I think that anything can be twisted and turned into power and control. I think government is far worse than religion. By far, I think government is worse.
I'm not going to argue that point with a libertarian.
Because of money, that's two hours.
Not because of money, but generally,
why is one worse than the other?
Because I think religion, I think the sheep willingly go along with religion out of fear.
Religion's voluntary.
Religion was the first government. Let's be honest.
Yeah,
religion was
yeah.
the first government. Now it's simply turned more into government.
See, that's why I'm surprised that you don't find it evil, because you don't like government, and I would think that you would find the dogma of the church and the rules and restrictions it puts on personal liberty to be abhorrent.
If there's consent, I don't follow them.
So, and also being a Catholic, I got forgiven.
But I consent to consent's the difference, do you think?
Yes, I think if you willingly join up with a religion and say, I'm willing to follow these rules and everything like that.
What if you're born into one? And you don't approve of it.
Well, then you need to get out of it.
So what if you can't?
Then you're in a cult.
See, that's what I'm saying. Okay. No, hold on.
But like a 5-year-old who doesn't have a choice but to go to church on Sunday.
I don't think children have a choice on anything they do, though.
They don't. Really, right, they don't. But the trick with religion is that what a parent is doing is they're bringing their child there and saying, this is real, this is what you should believe.
At you a need time to feel when guilty about this. You need
at
to
a time when they are
that.
Hardwired.
It's right, indoctrinated.
But here's the thing. The kids are hardwired
to accept what their parents are. This is where I disagree with you, because I don't think the parents are doing something insinuously evil. I don't think they're doing something they think is wrong.
No, I don't. No one's saying that.
That's not what we're arguing. We're arguing consent.
Yeah, but you're raising your child with your morals, your beliefs, and how you believe you should lead your life.
Sure,
and that is a part of their life.
But
intent matters.
So intense, because it sounds like you're against government, but you're not. Right. But you're okay with religion because of consent.
Right.
You're against, but you're okay with non-consent religion in the case of children, because children can't give consent.
Right.
Okay. So now, what happens if someone is raised in that church where they couldn't consent and they didn't have the right, but they swallow it so wholesale that they are now sort of like bound in a way. I mean, I don't think they're ever consenting because they never had a choice.
They've been indoctrinated or brainwashed.
As far as they know, there's no other option.
Well, I don't think that. I mean, that's saying that someone's stupid.
You won't let anyone in your family know you don't believe in God.
That's because I don't want to have the conversation.
Sure. Right.
It's now I'm going to see my mother, who knows she's going to die soon. She's already preparing herself so that she can get into heaven. Now she hears her oldest, and
I'm not saying you should. I'm saying
I'm her favorite son.
My point is that because you were raised
your
this way,
suck.
But because you were raised this way, and you only until you were 40 did you decide that it was even a reasonable option.
Yeah, I don't. Well, no, I thought it was a reasonable option. I changed religion through many courses of my life. I never felt obligated to follow Catholicism.
It just feels like such a strange. It feels like cognitive dissonance to me that you could be that against government, but not against the pretty much the same thing when it comes to more emotional matters of the heart. I mean,
religion plays on a lot more emotions.
See, I would having talked to some people with this podcast and outside this podcast, like we talked to a former Jehovah's Witness, and for him, yes, leaving the Jehovah's Witnesses was a choice, but by doing that, what he did was he accepted that his life just burned to the ground.
Yeah. His family, his friends
just...
Like you're saying, you're killing your mother.
That's going to happen, though, but you have a choice. With government,
but that religion,
you could move.
I could
you
leave
could
the car.
Fucking move.
But I don't want to.
Fuck you. I don't want to have to leave the religion because it's my family. I don't want to have to leave my family.
And if he would do it correctly, I wouldn't have to leave.
Oh, yeah.
You have another choice, too.
Grinning like a hypocrite.
If you don't want to pay taxes, you can choose to go to jail.
That's not a choice, though, because your freedom is then taken away from you.
But you could move.
I could move.
You could just move away. Burn your whole house down and move.
Yeah, but don't say that, because I've actually looked at other countries, and actually leaving, I've gotten so upset at certain times.
Sure, I'm sure you have.
I've had sympathy with American-born terrorists on actions that they've done and gone, yep, I totally can see why they did that. And then I thought to myself, that is horrifying.
So now
I'm willing to justify what they just did.
There's an atheist island of libertaria. And,
all you have to do
to move there is never see your family and friends again.
Well, most of my friends
but you're
would
staying
probably
true
be
to
there,
your,
but
no,
the
no,
problem
no.
is my libertarian friends are mostly
it's an analogy, fucktard.
All of your friends are annoying.
If I had to leave
someone's religious, and they'd have to leave their whole life to admit that they don't believe in something, or to change their mind on that. And now I don't think, that's why I'm saying, I don't think that's consent. I don't think they can.
Hold on, here's the difference, though, okay? Let's say the Jehovah's Witness example. He can go on not believing, and he can still live with his family, and he can still hang out with all of his
friends. And just live a lie.
And just pretend to keep everyone happy and keep that life going. And that's not the most perfect existence in the world by any stretch of the imagination.
It's depressing, and those are the kinds of people that end up killing themselves.
But I can't do that with government. I can't pretend that they don't exist. I can't pretend that their rules don't come down on
me. Sure you can.
No, because they catch you and they throw you in jail.
No, but you're pretending the same way. That guy's still going to church. That guy's still saying the prayers.
Yep.
That guy's still preaching.
He's still
participating. You still pay your taxes. You still do your thing.
That's
because
they'll take away my freedom if I don't.
They'll take away his freedom.
They won't take away his freedom. They'll take away his family and his friends. Which is different. Freedom to me is the most important thing in the entire world.
Freedom to you is the ability to bodily move around, basically? That's your freedom?
No, it's the ability to do what I want.
But you don't have that now.
Without, no.
There's no country.
Without affecting anyone else in a negative way.
There's no country where you have that.
Yeah.
There's no country where you have ultimate freedom to do whatever you want.
Somalia.
It doesn't hurt anybody else. That's what I'm saying, man. Like it's, and there's no religion where you don't hurt anybody else.
What I want is freedom to do whatever I want as long as it doesn't affect anyone else negatively in a financial or physical way.
That's how I feel about churches. I feel like churches should be allowed to exist as long as they're not trying to fucking interfere in our government.
I don't have to vote in one.
I have to vote in one. They don't get to participate at fucking all.
They don't get to have a lobby.
The church has a tremendous amount of power in this country.
They have a tremendous amount of power.
Can we at least agree that that's bullshit and
they should not have any political power at all?
Thank you.
All
right.
If they're not paying taxes, they don't get to play.
Exactly. If they want freedom from the very boundaries of the government, then they don't get to influence that government.
Damn
but
right.
the argument that they'll make, and I don't agree with it, but they'll make is that individual citizens, the individual who is religious...
That's their loophole.
That's their loophole.
They are legion, they are many.
All we're doing is we are providing a conduit for all of these individuals...
Yep. We represent the constituents.
We call that soft money. You don't get to do that anymore.
I also hate soft money. The church a mile from us spent over $50,000 trying to support the marriage amendment.
The marriage amendment. Look at the stats for the state of Minnesota and the money that came in to support that amendment.
Yeah.
It was insane.
Yeah. Crazy amounts of money.
I'm so glad they spent it all.
Do you know why they did it? Do you know why they put that amendment on the ballot?
Because they thought it would bring more Republicans to the...
They thought it would bring Republicans out when the president would be weak.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And it was... I could have walked in and
one election too late.
This is the worst idea ever.
Yeah.
One election too late.
This will not work.
They should have done that next election.
Well, we actually...
They should have done that the last election.
Oh, yeah.
They never should have done it because it's not going to work. People will get up in arms over something they're angry about way before they'll get up in arms over something they're happy about. It's the same as a complaint letter.
Yeah.
No one writes happy letters
to a restaurant. One complaint letter is worth like 1,000
exactly.
1,000 complaint
people
letters are worth
react
one.
On anger way more than they will on joy and happiness.
It's true.
Oh, yeah. That's,
except for that Coca-Cola YouTube video, which makes me really happy.
Which one?
The Random Acts of Happiness. The scene where that guy just runs, the two guys in the Arab outfits, I don't know what to call them appropriately, I apologize, but they just run up and this guy attacks this guy with a hug. I want to know the backstory behind this.
Yeah.
Why did this, they embraced so hard.
That's awesome.
Where did that come from?
That's awesome.
So, Mark, we're going to move on to our five questions.
Because we could probably argue for another 2 hours.
Yeah,
you know what? And I want to point out, because like, I hate when people are like, I don't like arguing. And I'm like, well, then you don't like talking to me. Yeah. Fuck off.
I love arguing because you guys just told me tonight, I have never been persecuted as an atheist because people that don't know it.
This is what I
learned that from arguing.
You know how I know you're good? You're good at debating because you're able to...
No one I know is going to listen to this.
I like when people who debate are willing to cede a point and then move forward from there because there's nothing I hate more than someone's like, no, I'm dying on this hill.
Hang on. We're going down with this.
I'm going to say I like arguing with Mark because we don't agree very often. But I don't. We never stop being friends when we argue.
No, I can
that's
disagree.
Being an adult.
Yeah.
Stephen Bruce and I, about once a year, will sit in my hot tub with a bottle of scotch and debate how wrong both of us are.
That's awesome.
Stephen is a diehard communist.
Oh yeah.
And him and I'll just sit down in the hot tub, take a swig of scotch, and say unions are the reason this country is falling apart. And hand him the bottle.
Isn't the best part about smartphones the ability to look up facts that can be
instantly?
Oh, yeah.
And just be like,
portable accountability. Can we move on from this point?
I have the treasury numbers right here.
Portable accountability. It's so great.
This is
so
a journal wonderful. Of like government medicine.
So,
yeah.
Number one is, what's the best movie you've seen in the last 30 days at home, in the theater, Netflix, doesn't matter, anywhere?
That is so hard because I rarely watch movies because I don't know.
What's the last one you saw?
That sticks out.
Hold on. I'm going back.
Because you watch a lot of movies.
I watched the same movie over and over
again. Well, it doesn't matter. If that's the best movie.
I don't know if this qualifies as a movie, but I watched the season 3, episode 1, Sherlock.
Oh yeah. That's 2 hours.
Yeah, exactly. And it's fucking wonderful. I love that show so much.
No spoilers.
Tim hasn't seen it. I don't think it will have aired in the United States.
I've seen episode 1.
By the time this episode goes up, because it's not airing here until... Like the 19th, but
there's a song out there where you can get this stuff.
Yeah, exactly. All I'll say is there's a lot of good fan service.
And the writing and the acting
Sherlock off the front bow.
I got into a minor argument with somebody on the internet because they were like talking about Jeremy Brett being the best Sherlock Holmes, and I love Jeremy Brett.
I saw that guy. I had to leave the thread to him. I was so disgusted.
because basically what he was saying was he doesn't like the interpretation. That Sherlock has of Sherlock Holmes. He feels that that's not really.
But he called him a neurotic drug addict.
Sherlock Holmes was a neurotic drug addict in the book.
Yes, they pull that out a little bit more in Sherlock, but the whole point is, I like that, because what they're trying to do is say, what would Sherlock be like if Sherlock Holmes lived in the world we're in right now?
Well, also, there's a difference between a high-functioning sociopath and a neurotic. Right. A neurotic is Woody Allen. A neurotic is Richard Lewis.
High-functioning sociopath is Benedict Cumberbatch.
Yes,
which is Sherlock.
Exactly, which is what I
got it, and I keep saying it because I have to say it anytime anybody talks about Sherlock. What makes that show as much as Benedict Cumberbatch, who is fucking awesome, is Martin Freeman.
I don't think he's Watson.
Okay. Yeah. Yes. And I don't think he gets enough credit.
He's the perfect straight man to his
It's almost like straight man to ultra straight man. This is where the straight man is the funny guy. I think it's the most perfectly cast.
How he hates himself for loving Sherlock.
I can't wait till you watch episode 1. Oh, so good.
It's really so good.
The addition to the cast. She's fan-fucking-tastic, too.
Molly?
Without just nothing else.
Yeah,
we saw the second episode.
Oh, so good.
All right.
So, question number 2. Is it my turn?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. What's your favorite atheist character?
Oh, yeah, I figured that one out. Mal.
Nice.
I identify with Mal so...
I can see that, because he's a mad at God atheist.
Well, Firefly is the ultimate libertarian fantasy.
Oh, for sure.
If you look at it, all they want is freedom. They want their guns. They have a prostitute on board.
Just like libertarianism, it's really simplistic without a whole lot of thought going into what happens after war.
We're just fighting against the big government.
All I'm saying is we kill all these guys, and then what? I don't know. Figure it out. Don't worry about that.
Build our road later. Fucking God, hard.
Just freedom, man.
Yeah, everything about I identify with that show so heavily because being a boss, I identify with the Mal jokes with his crew, and then all of a sudden it's like, fuck, now I gotta be serious, you assholes.
Yeah.
And I identify with that being a boss so much because I joke with my people, and then all of a sudden every now and then it's like, no, daddy's fucking serious, and if I had a gun, it would be out right now.
Or, why
do you... Why make me be the bad boss? Like, I don't want to have to fire someone,
don't
man.
Don't make me do this.
I can empathize with that.
And I identify with his losing his faith. Because in the first episode, he has faith, and then he loses his faith. Because I lost my faith when Cecilia got sick. Most people don't know that.
Oh.
But that's when I completely lost
it. That does make sense.
Yep. So I just identify with that so well.
Cool. Yeah. Question number 3. Is what is your geekiest hobby? Like, what's a hobby that is geeky to other geeks even?
Fuck, I really try hiding some of the things I do.
Yeah. I know.
I collect antique Christmas lights.
Ooh.
Because I find them fascinating.
That's a good one.
I find handcrafting items fascinating.
Yeah.
The way things were built 50 and 100 years ago, where it was all hand done.
You collect Christmas story shit, too.
Yeah, I collect Christmas story.
Like the lamp, the miniatures.
I have the lamp, I have miniatures, I have the houses, I have a squeeze toy of the lamp, I have the people, anything that says Christmas story I collect. I have 3 different DVDs of it.
Are you a Christmas nerd?
Oh, big time.
That's great.
Christmas is easily the best time of the year because it is the one from Christmas Eve at about noon till Christmas Day at about 7. People are fucking nice to each other, no matter what.
Yeah.
Everyone is just nice to each other. And it drives me insane. It's like, why can't we just do this the rest of the year?
You really should come to Christmas.
Why can't we just be nice? the rest of the year. I don't understand it. And I get to see my
peace
family.
Peace on earth and goodwill toward men.
I get to see my family.
Until you, a child is born.
Okay, maybe not that far.
Yeah, and I get depressed now on Christmas because I used to always have a glass of wine and wish Jesus a happy birthday on Christmas. And now I go, well, and I used to always say, I know it's not your real birthday.
Yeah.
No, it was...
Has it ever occurred to you that you can still do that?
I could, but it's stupid now. Now it's...
That sucks.
Yeah, it totally sucks.
No, that sucks. That sucks when the magic just takes out of
your... There are things you lose.
When the magic is gone from the show, it sucks.
Every midnight, I would always do it. I would always look up for a bright star, you know, the stuff.
I mean, I completely sympathize. There are things...
You understand losing.
There are things you lose. There are things you lose.
There was no part of church I enjoyed, so I just didn't...
I feel that way with some... I felt that way with some Wicca stuff.
You know what I did? What I do miss from church is... And I just heard this last week. My mother talking about, oh... My Aunt Bonnie went to church, and she sees blah, blah, blah at church every week, and they haven't been around lately. And I remember growing up, and you saw everyone at church.
The community.
And you had dinner, and you knew everybody in town.
Yeah, we never had that.
All that could be achieved without church.
It can, but it won't. Because there's no... People go to church because they don't want to go to hell. So they're forced to go to church.
But you know...
We're all here because of fear.
I brought this up with Carr when he was on the podcast about a month and a half ago, that... To me, I mean, and we can talk about this because we all work out at Renaissance Festival, and I've been out there for 30 years. Yep. And you know what? The Renaissance Festival is my tribe far more than a church ever was.
Yeah, exactly.
And sure. I walk back out onto
closing
that site...
Closing ceremonies makes me cry.
Yeah. When I walk back out onto that site and see all those people that I love and that I care for every year, it's like that to me is church.
It kills me that I can't be there opening weekend, that we get to next... Yeah. In 2015, we get to be there opening weekend if I'm still at Fantasy Flight, because Gen Con finally eclipses away from it, and I'm so excited to get to finally see the ceremony of opening the site.
She's never seen the Morris dancers do
never
their thing.
Seen the Morris dancers.
Yeah, I remember when I was like 25 the first year, and I was walking inside, they went walking by, and I was just I had no idea what was going
it's
on.
Spooky as
but
shit.
In my mind, as you know, my religious mind, I'm like, oh my god, this is like some weird pagan fucking shit going on.
Were you
on.
Scared?
I was like, I don't know what they're doing. Are they going to fucking do... Is it going to affect me? Yeah. I don't know what this is.
Is God going to damn me?
Is it going to affect me? That's
no, I wasn't
like
worried
a
about
spell,
that.
Like
but
a spell
I was like,
casting out.
Like, I don't know what they're doing. Yep. For all I know, you know, they could be killing my sperm for all I know.
Which is great because Catholicism is the most pagan of all the Christianities.
Exactly.
Like, that's the best thing. Like,
but it was really weird because the guys with the antlers and their sages going and the weird stuff like that.
Yeah, that's so different than Catholicism.
It was
there were no young boys anywhere. I didn't know where to look. It was very confusing.
So, question number four is, what's your favorite sandwich? And go into detail.
I remember this one. And I'm going to horribly disappoint you because I'm gluten-free, so I can't eat bread.
But what about...
But you used to eat
bread. But what was your favorite sandwich?
The sandwich I missed the most, it's a toss-up. If I'm making it myself... Then it's a plain white bread with mustard, potato chips, and Swiss cheese.
Yeah,
that's
good.
And
if I'm not making it myself, I love a French dip, a good French dip.
Oh yeah,
au jus.
Exactly. I love a good French dip.
Now, couldn't you do that with gluten-free bread?
I could, but gluten-free bread sucks.
It does.
Even the good gluten-free bread is just a substitute for some things. But you can't dip it. It crumbles apart. It just doesn't work the same.
Especially for a dip.
You gotta check
out. It's just terrible.
I put a recipe on my Facebook for cauliflower crust pizza.
Yeah, I saw that.
Fucking
shit's
incredible.
Delicious.
I don't like cauliflower though. At least I don't
think it tastes like cauliflower.
Okay,
the worst part is it smells like cauliflower when you're baking the crust the first time.
Okay, I can do that.
Yeah.
It smells
it's
a little
farty.
It's
probably better for me than whatever I eat now.
It's like 1,600 calories for an entire pizza.
I can gobble that.
It's not. No, it's 1,000. No, it's like 1,800. Yeah.
And it's all protein.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Good.
Well, that's
the
right. 16.
That sounds like a good sandwich. What kind of mustard? Fancy mustard? Yellow mustard?
I like mustard.
Just like French
like yellow,
Lachman's.
Brown, Dijon.
It all.
Yeah,
all mustard.
Not a mustard I've ever tried that I haven't enjoyed.
You know what?
Sure.
I don't like honey mustard. Not a fan of honey mustard. I don't like
honey
sweet.
Mustard on a bratwurst. Oh, the combination of the
You know,
flavors.
I'm gonna.
Maybe I
don't
had a good one.
Honey mustard to me is like the bottom rung.
Okay, that's fair.
Even plain yellow mustard is a step above.
Give me that plot.
Lachman's is in the barrel.
Yeah. I grew up in Golden's, Yeah, I still like golden.
Grip and Plockman's, yeah.
But
yeah.
The, I've had a stone ground brown.
Okay.
And that
yeah.
was Swiss
so,
cheese and the chips.
Wait,
oh.
That's so good. The weirdest fucking thing. So since Molly and I have had some dietary changes, we you know, went out shopping, and we tried some new foods and stuff, and one of the things we got was Roundy's store brand stone ground mustard.
Organic.
Organic stone ground mustard yeah. is the best stone ground mustard I've ever had.
All right.
It's
I will
super
try
good.
That.
It's
and you wouldn't
super
think so
vinegary.
It's like $1 a bottle.
And like,
oh, and I like vinegary.
It's,
vinegary is awesome.
It's like they didn't even try to grind it. Like, it's so fucking chunky and vinegary.
I like
it's,
that. That's
yeah,
good.
It's good stuff.
It's really good.
I'm going to give me some of that. So, question number 5, and this might be a tough one for you to answer.
Yeah.
What is the stupidest thing anybody's ever said to you about your atheism, agnosticism, lack of belief?
Or just in general.
Or in general.
Yeah, that's going to be really hard, because most people that know I'm an atheist
are
atheists. So
right.
They don't yeah. say anything.
I got an alternate question.
Okay.
We can substitute if you can, if you don't have
yeah,
an answer.
Because I don't think anyone's ever said anything negative to me about my lack of faith.
So, Mark, controversial libertarian Mark, what's yeah. the stupidest thing anyone's ever said to you about your libertarianism?
Oh,
and please try to keep it
limited to
short.
One.
It's
yeah.
going to be, it's the Somali argument. It's,
yeah.
It's always the Somali argument. Oh, if you want a perfect libertarian life,
it's anarchy.
Go to Somalia and it's anarchy. And I'm like, no, it's not fucking anarchy. A, I am a terrible libertarian. I've never read Ayn Rand, and I believe in socialized
you
medicine.
You can't even pronounce your
yeah.
name.
See?
Yeah.
and I believe in socialized medicine. That makes me a really
yeah,
bad libertarian.
It does make you a bad libertarian. The second one especially.
Yeah, and
I think
the problem is the argument against socialized medicine is that medicine is not a... it's a need. When
yeah.
I get shot, I don't have time to shop. When I get diagnosed with cancer, I can't shop the free market. I just need to get fixed now.
And you preferably with, like, the best care available without having to fucking pay more for better care.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's, I understand the arguments for, you know, people paying for themselves and everything like that. And
yeah.
I go, that's fine. I even came up with a platform I thought people should do for medicine,
yeah.
like, but statewide, because I fuck the rest of the country. I thought that every person that's in the state should be responsible for the first $1,500. A family maximum of $7,500. After that, the state covers everything. And that first $1,500, if you want to get insurance for it, it's going to be $20 a month.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you want to
all the big stuff will be
yeah,
covered by
exactly.
the state.
Or your employer can provide that.
Mm-hmm.
And the way you pay for it is you tell me as a business owner, we're taking, you know, 0.5% of all your business before profit,
mm-hmm.
before everything. And I go, oh, I don't have to pay ridiculous, insane insurance to my people.
I would think that would work. And that's the funny thing.
Insurance
is.
For my people right now, $100,000 a year.
Yeah.
And that's a shitty plan.
Yeah.
To cover my people is $100,000 a year.
Yeah.
And I would, if they said 1%, I'd go, there, take it.
Yeah.
Because it would be way less than $100,000.
Take it, and everyone's covered, and now all of a sudden, ta-da,
but,
take
know,
that
Mark,
right off of the plate.
Here's the thing, and we're running out of time, but I think
they'll
this is a good
listening.
Point.
Don't worry.
they will, because, you know, you're boring. But the thing is that when people say, oh, libertarians, what a bunch of fucking idiots, what they're really doing is exactly the same thing that you do when you say all atheists are like this.
Oh, I generalize all the time. I am
a
fucking huge hypocrite. I'm a giant hypocrite.
I'm really judgmental, so I feel for you.
Yeah. I'm super judgmental. I put everyone in nice, neat groups, and then I don't have to deal with them.
Sure, and I mean, I know a lot of libertarians, and I've had
the
same conversation with many libertarians.
Pretty much
and
the same
different,
conversation.
And I mean, the same starting point, but they're libertarians believe stuff all over the map.
Exactly.
I mean,
they're all over the map.
I'm a liberal. I know lots of other liberals who don't believe what I believe.
Yeah.
And that's
you know,
the problem, is everyone assumes that if you're a liberal, a conservative, or a libertarian, you believe... Usually, what I hate about those groups,
right?
What you generally go for.
Yeah.
The problem is, I had this conversation with George once in detail. I said, the problem is, all three want the exact same thing, and we're all so fucking close to what we actually want, but we're being told by everyone else that we're not close to what we want. And I don't, there was a thing floating around that said, when I talk with liberals, I'm the conservative. When I talk with conservatives, I'm the liberal.
Yep.
And that's what it's like being a libertarian, is that you're in the middle somewhere.
For you.
For me, I'm always in the middle somewhere.
So, real quick, do you think the reason you're a bad libertarian about the socialized Medicare thing is your daughter?
That probably played into it.
Couldn't have hurt.
yeah, because we had canceled our insurance 2 months before she got sick.
Oh, fucking
And we're going to get a new plan 1 month after she was diagnosed. Yeah. And I remember sitting in there going, we are fucked. They're going to throw us out when they find out we have no insurance.
Yeah.
And literally,
well, it would be impossible to get insurance again. Yeah.
And
yeah.
literally, some lady walked in and she's like, we don't do that. That's not how it works. And I'm like, you're not going to toss us out? She's like, no, I'm going to bring you upstairs. Some lady's going to have you fill out a form, and you're going to get on the state medical.
The Medicare.
For Cecilia. Yeah. And I'm like, wow, I'm a terrible fucking libertarian, because I'm going to take that bitches.
You're suck on that government teat.
And this is Minnesota. We don't let kids die from cancer here because they don't have money.
Exactly. And I said to every friend of mine, I said, I'll give your kid cancer. And if you have no insurance, let's see how you feel about taking that Medicare. Because I'm real sure you'll sign on that line.
In a heartbeat.
Yeah. And then, and that's when I said, no one needs to worry about money in a situation like that. That's the absolute last thing.
And the worst thing about our healthcare system is everybody
that's
has to
worry about. Well, then that's so like I just that's how I feel about socialized housing and all that kind of stuff. There's certain things you have to be a human being.
Yep, exactly.
And medicine and a house and food to eat. Those are the three. Yep. And if you don't have those, then what's the fucking point? Why aren't we just euthanizing people in the street?
And that's it.
Because,
I mean, like, you care so little about them. Why not just
euthanize
them?
Because holy shit, the Hunger Games. I mean,
the other thing is, we're a wealthy country. We have plenty. There's no reason we shouldn't take care of our own people.
Agreed.
Right.
And that should not be a moral choice. That should not be a choice.
How great are we? If we're that great, we can fucking do it.
Exactly.
We're only as great as the rest of us.
That, there's certain things that just shouldn't be a choice.
Yeah.
Great. I think that's probably the best way to end.
I think so. Thanks for joining us, Mark. And
you are welcome.
Making the trek out to talk with us and debate a little. We are Geeks Without God. New episodes up every Tuesday. You can find us at geekswithoutgod.com. Follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook.
Rate us on iTunes.
And we're on the iTunes.
The magical iTunes.
iTunes!
Bye!
And on CBS.
Fuck you, you fucking fuck. Go fuck yourself, you fuck. Fuck you and your fucking eye socket, you fucking fuck.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Until next time, you can find us blogging and listen to past podcasts at geekswithoutgod.com. And you can follow us on Twitter at geekswithoutgod.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Well, who wouldn't want to have Mark swearing?